So, Omagana Timananda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miritam Yena Tasmai Shidurve Namaha. So, we're having a havan here, and this is in honor of an initiation, or many initiations, and we're going to speak about what initiation is. But in general, the devotees are being initiated, or joining, or vowing, into the Hare Krishna movement. For those of you who don't know what Hare Krishna movement is, it's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If you don't know what that is, it's the movement that Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, started in 1966. He came to America in 65, started it in 1966. And it is a representation of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, that is the disciplic succession coming down from God Himself. Of course, in the Krishna Consciousness Movement and in the Vedic literatures, God has many different names. For example, you have this Vishnu Sahasranama, the thousand names of Lord Vishnu. And we in the Krishna Consciousness Movement have the name of God, Krishna, which is actually the most powerful name of God, although God has many names. The name Krishna means to attract you, and Na means to get rid of all material miseries, and also Ananda, to give you bliss. And that's the nature of God. God is the all-attractive, also He's called Bhagawan. Bhagawan means full of all opulences. Like we become attracted to someone in this world because they are rich or famous or beautiful or handsome or renounced or knowledgeable. These are all different qualities that attract us. Like if a famous person were to come into the room right now, we'd all stand up and everybody would ignore me because I'm not famous, nor rich, nor handsome, nor, you know, a little intelligence, not much. And so we're more attracted to someone who has all these qualities in full, and that person is God. Because why is it God? Why has God all these qualities in full? Because as he describes in the Gita, Hamsa Rasya Prabhu Matak Sarvam Prabhartate, that everything comes from him. And if everything comes from him, he must have all qualities to the highest degree more than anyone else. Because everything comes from him. Just like if there's a rich man who's supporting many people, he's richer than any of the people he supports. But the interesting thing about God, Krishna, is that even though everything comes from him, it's not exactly like a rich man. Because if a rich man supports people, he loses money by supporting people, right? Like if someone is very charitable. I mean, let's take Bill Gates. Some of you have heard about Bill Gates. He's not a resident of Fiji. Actually, probably has an income greater than that of all of Fiji. But anyway, apart from that, he's the founder of Microsoft. So he gives a lot of charity. A very charitable person. In fact, actually, he used to go to the Hare Krishna temple. That's why he's so successful. Did you know that? He used to eat prasadam at the Hare Krishna temple when he was a college student. Therefore, Krishna blessed him to become one of the richest men in the world. So if you want to become one of the richest people in the world, you want to be successful, take prasadam, go to the Hare Krishna temple, and chant Hare Krishna. And you will be successful, according to what you term to be success. So, Bill Gates, he gives charity away. But as soon as he gives some charity, let's say he gives $5 billion, what happens? He has $5 billion less. So there's a limit to how much charity he can give away. But the interesting thing about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if he gives away so many universes, that's much more than Bill Gates could give away. I don't think he could give away a universe. If he gives away unlimited universes, what happens? Does he lose something? Does he weigh less? No. He actually remains exactly the same. Om Purnamada Purnamita. And that's mentioned in the Issa Upanishad, one of the original Upanishads, that the personality of God, Krishna, is perfect and complete. And even though so many perfect and complete things come from him, he remains the perfect and complete. That's amazing, isn't it? How many people can be like that? No one but Krishna. No one can emanate, give things away, give charity, and remain the same. Because their bank account gets diminished. So, that's the Supreme Personality of Krishna. And the interesting thing about Krishna, and many interesting things, is he's a person. Many people think the ultimate realization of God is impersonal. That is, when one becomes completely spiritually conscious, they may think that you lose your individuality, you become God, merge into God, and you realize that everything was nothing and nothing was everything. Anyway, it's a little Buddhist stuff for you. Zen Buddhist, that's Zen Buddhist. There's different types of Buddhism. And no, Krishna's a person. So he's a person, but at the same time he's unlimited. And so many unlimited things emanate from him and he remains exactly the same. And Krishna as a person is so wonderful that he wants to have a personal relationship with each and every one of you. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. Because let's say a very famous person. I mean, recently I met one famous movie star, which you all know, Akshay Kumar. Everyone's heard of him. Yes, oh my God, he's been. I'm thinking, oh, I wasn't impressed. But anyway, yeah, I met him, and he just had time for one or two people. In fact, I wanted to see him and speak to him. This is a funny story. I wanted to give him a Bhagavad Gita. He was living right next to me. I live in a very good neighborhood in Govardhan. So He was David Gilbert, not right next to me. So I was thinking, I really want to speak to him, but he had all these guys, he didn't have time for me. So I thought, how can I attract his attention? I had a trick. I sent over, there was one of my disciples, a very young and pretty girl, sent her over, and they let her in immediately. He had time for her. And she brought him over to see me. Very interesting trick. So in other words, if you're rich and famous in this world, you only have time for a few people. You don't have time for everybody. You've got to have bodyguards around you to protect you. And so Krishna's not like that. He has time for everybody. Because not only does everything come from him, he remains exactly the same. He's a person, but at the same time, he's in everyone's heart. And he's waiting for you to turn back to him. Just like the example given in the Upanishads, it's like two birds in one tree. One bird is looking at the other bird, waiting when the other bird will turn back to him, and one bird is just eating the fruits of the tree. And Krishna's like that. He's in the heart, and he's looking at us, waiting for us, hoping that we'll look at him. He has everything, but he wants us. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Why does he want us? Because he loves us. That's real love. Normally in this world, there's love because of what someone has or what someone can do for you. But no one can do anything, let's say, externally for Krishna. Krishna has unlimited goddesses of fortune. Lakshmi Sahasra Sada, Sambramad Sevimanam Govinda Mani Purusham, Tamaham Bhajami. So what can you do for Krishna? How much money can you give to Krishna? But he wants us because he purely loves us. How many relationships do we have where someone purely loves us? Pretty interesting, isn't it? How many? Very few. Maybe our mother. Maybe. No, yes, obviously the mother really loves you. And hopefully the guru. So, but Krishna purely loves everybody. And he has time for everybody. And at the same time, he's in the spiritual world dancing with all of his associates, you know, the gopis, and playing with the coward boys, having fun with Mother Yashoda, and taking care of the calves. He's amazing. So, that's Krishna. So, the Krishna consciousness movement means to revive the relationship, to look again at Krishna and revive the relationship with Krishna, so you can live with him eternally and have fun eternally. Sometimes people ask, what do you do? They ask me sometimes, what do you do for fun? I don't know. My whole life is fun. Why is it fun? Because I'm with Krishna all the time. I'm talking about Krishna, helping people come close to Krishna. It's fun. I mean, I wouldn't trade my life for anything. Even if you offered me the position of Bill Gates, you know, billions of dollars, what would I do with it? I mean, how many rotis can I eat? Isn't that my problem to say that? No matter how much money you have, how many rotis can you eat? Same amount, right? How many bowls of langa can you eat? Same amount. So all the money in the world. And what you can do that'll make you happy is being Krishna conscious and sharing it with others. Kevala Nandakanda. It's a path only of happiness that we're teaching. So we're teaching people to be happy, to live eternally with Krishna when they leave this world. What could be better? So this initiation means embarking or starting this particular path by taking certain promises, making certain promises, and following certain practices. And it's an easy path. It doesn't require a lot of austerity. In previous ages, being Krishna conscious required so many austerities, like meditating for 30,000 years. I mean, who can live for 30,000 years now? We're lucky if we live for 30 years, 40, 50 years. At the end of this age of Kali, people will be considered old if they're 30 years old. So, It's a very easy process. It simply requires chanting Krishna's names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, which is non-different from Krishna. There's some tissues. Someone has some tissues. Anyway, thank you. Thank you. I'll pay you for it later. chanting Krishna's names, following a few restrictions, very, very easy. And so that's really what's happening with this initiation. Devotees, aspiring devotees, are making promises. And not only are they making promises, they're experiencing some happiness unlike any other happiness they experienced before. That was my experience, and that's one of the reasons I came to Krishna consciousness. Apart from the point that I was looking for the absolute truth, to find out what life is all about, where I've come from, where am I going at the time of death, and what's the nature of God, I came to Krishna consciousness because it gave me happiness. So devotees are vowing to chant a minimum of 16 rounds every day. For those who are taking first initiation, we'll talk about second initiation in a second. And following a few regulated principles, very easy, no meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, including kava, no gambling, no illicit sex like this, and dedicating their lives to Krishna. Very easy. It's a promise or vow. Of course, in polite society, when one makes a promise or a vow, one keeps the promise. And if one keeps the promise, you are guaranteed to become Krishna conscious. Very good. We give you a guarantee, a written guarantee, that if you keep your promises to Krishna, Krishna will keep his promises to you. And not only will he take you back to Godhead, but he will give you all success in this lifetime too. As Krishna says in the Gita, Ananyas chintayando mam ye janak paritvasate, tesham satakyuktanam yesham twandakatam papam yananam kundikarmanam te. And that is, if one worships him, then Krishna will actually protect what you have and carry what you lack. Pretty good. So that's Krishna's guarantee. So as far as chanting the holy names and the vow of chanting the holy names, it depends on certain factors that determine how quickly one will make spiritual advancement. And I'm going to explain those factors. The first factor is avoiding committing offenses against the holy name. Because the holy name is directly Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purushuddha Nijamukto Vinadvam Namanamino. The holy name is directly the Supreme Personality of God. And so if you don't chant correctly, or with attention, or do something, let's say, that displeases Krishna, then being displeased, Krishna will not give you as much mercy as you might want. So the offenses to be avoided when chanting Hare Krishna are 10. We always mention them at the time of initiation. First one is blaspheming the devotees who have dedicated, or blaspheming those who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord or preaching God consciousness. Because as Krishna says in the Adi Purana, one who says he is my devotee is not my devotee, but one who says he is a devotee of my devotee is my devotee. So Krishna considers his devotees to be most dear to him. Of course, Krishna is equal. That is true. Krishna in the Gita also says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dvesho stinapriyaha. I'm equal to everyone. But also Krishna reciprocates. So someone who gives more to Krishna, they get more from Krishna. Yayatamam pravajante hamsadaiva pajamyaham. So those who are giving to Krishna, they're called devotees. one who is devoted. The devotee is not simply one who dresses a certain way, wears a certain style of tilak, and has neck beads. That's not a devotee. A devotee is someone who is devoted. You understand? Like, disciple is someone who is disciplined. It's not that one becomes a disciple at initiation. One becomes a disciple by being disciplined by the guru. Discipline means not partially, but discipline by guru mukha padma vakya chintete koriyakya, accepting the words of the spiritual master as his or her life and soul. So that's what it means. So anyway, so someone who is dear to Krishna, we should very much avoid offending. In fact, we shouldn't offend anybody. What to speak of devotees of the Lord. So that's the first offense. Second offense is to consider that, this is a big one in Fiji, to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Durga, to be independent, or Indra. Nobody thinks about Indra. Poor Indra here. Nobody in Fiji actually worships Indra. I am very sad. So, I would consider the names of the demigods, like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, etc., to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. The demigods are servants of Krishna. That's it. They are different than their names. If you chant Brahma, 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 you're not chanting the name of the demigod Brahma. So that should be avoided. Third offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. Same time, one should not follow the spiritual master blindly. One has a right to ask the spiritual master, why is that particular instruction given? And one has a right to consult Shastra. So I'll give you an example of one disciple, not my disciple, of course, who disobeyed the order of the spiritual master but was doing the right thing. So you'll be shocked when you hear this. Once upon a time, there was this nice devotee, his name was Bali Maharaj. And his spiritual master was Shukracharya. And his spiritual master was basically teaching him well for some time. His spiritual master was teaching him to worship Krishna, and as a result, Krishna, and as a result, he became very opulent and defeated the demigods. So, eventually, Krishna had a plan. He took the form of Lord Vamanadev and appeared before Bali Maharaj. And he asked Bali Maharaj for just 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj, of course, agreed to that. And Bali Maharaj's spiritual master, Shukracharya, told him, no, don't give it. And Bali Maharaj said, no, Guru Maharaj. So in that case, because Guru Maharaj was disobeying scripture, you understand? It's a check and balances. Just like in a government, you have checks and balances. You have the judicial branch, the executive branch, and the legislative branch, right? Practically most governments around the world have those 3 branches, executive, legislative, and judicial, and they check and balance each other. In the same way, not that we're interested in disobeying the order of the spiritual master, but we can see things according to guru, shastra, and sadhu. These are the 3 branches that check and balance each other in Krishna consciousness. In other words, no blind following even of guru. Very important. But at the same time, don't disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Appears to be a contradiction, but not according to shastra. Everything should be done according to shastra. Okay, and the next offense to be avoided is blaspheming Vedic literatures, any Vedic literatures, or any literatures which teach about the supremacy of God in any culture, whether we're talking about the Western culture, Middle Eastern culture, Fijian culture, any culture, any literatures that talk about God being great, worshiping God, we do not criticize. We are not sectarian. Krishna consciousness is not a sectarian religion. It is more of a science. In other words, people can be Krishna conscious and maintain their religion and become better at their religions. Someone can become Krishna conscious and become a better Christian, a better Muslim, a better Jew, any of these different religions, because they'll understand more deeply what God wants. It's scientific. For example, Krishna consciousness in the Gita, we find the description of the soul transmigrating from one body to another. That's scientific. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian, Jew, Hindu, Muslim, you still transmigrate. It doesn't matter. You're still going to get old. Krishna says in the Gita, Dehino smenyata dehe komaram jovadam jara, that you're passing from boyhood or girlhood to youth, to old age. Does that mean because you're a Christian you don't do that? No. Everybody. Scientific. We're into science. We're interested in science. This is not the Middle Ages. So we shouldn't criticize any bona fide religious literature. Next events to be avoided is to consider the glories of the holy name. Imagination. Krishna is there. It's not imaginative. Next offense to avoid is to give some mundane interpretation of Krishna's name. There are bona fide interpretations of Krishna's name, one of which I gave at the beginning of this class, which is Krishna means to attract, Na means to negate the material miseries, and to give you bliss, Ananda. So that's a bona fide interpretation or explanation. So the next offense to be avoided is to commit sins on the strength of your religious activities or chanting. That means thinking because now I'm a Hare Krishna, I can get away with any damn thing. That's not true. Not that you can chant Hare Krishna, which does get rid of bad karma. Not that you can chant Hare Krishna and then drink liquor on the side or take kava on the side or smoke marijuana on the side or run around, have illicit sex on the side, or go play the lotto on the side. It's not. You're not excused. It doesn't give you a free ride to do anything you want. So one has to be careful not to think that chanting Hare Krishna is like that. Another offense to be avoided is to consider the chanting to be like a ritual. Like in the Vedic literatures, they have rituals called karma kanja rituals, which are meant to elevate you materially. It's not a ritual. It's purely connection with God. Next events is to instruct people who are not ready to hear about the holy names, about the glories of the holy name. Because in this way, they may commit offenses or may misuse the holy name. And the last events is to maintain, we say maintain, but basically, one should be careful to try to eradicate material attachments. Material attachments, what do we mean? Things that keep us from connecting with Krishna. It's not that we are against material things. We are very much in favor of using material things for Krishna. For example, you know, right now I'm using my mobile phone to broadcast this class, and we have some people watching it from around the world. So I'm attached to it, but not for playing video games. I don't sit there all day long and playing whatever video game the kids play nowadays. We use it for Krishna. That's called yukta vairagya. So we can be attached to things in this world, material things, if we're using them for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one should try to use everything for Krishna, and this way one gives up material attachments. So it's not a negative, it's a positive. Whatever you have, manasa deha geha yokishumori arpimam tuyapane, nanda kishore, whatever you own, your house, your home, your wife, your kids, they belong to Krishna. In fact, nothing belongs to us. Because we have no right to proprietorship for anything, because everything belongs to Krishna. Anyway, and then finally, the final overriding offense is inattentive chanting. How do you avoid inattentive chanting? Give your heart to Krishna while you're chanting. Have some sankalpa, just like probably before you began this fire sacrifice, Gokul did a sankalpa. I hope he did. Did you? Yeah, he did sankalpa. Sankalpa means we're here today doing this fire sacrifice, so on this particular day, an initiation, etc. It's a declaration of intention. That's what a sankalpa is. So when you chant, try to understand why you're chanting. Not just that you are chanting, not just that you have to chant because you've taken a promise to chant, but why am I chanting? To connect myself with Krishna. To please Krishna. To please my spiritual master. To become empowered to help others. To have compassion for others. It should come from the heart. You chant from the heart. Not from the mind. And not from the stomach either. Unless you want prasadam, you know. Hare Krishna, I'm hungry. So you chant from the heart. Heart means Krishna. Help. You connect to Krishna through love. This is called bhakti yoga. This is not jnana yoga, stanga yoga, or any other type of yoga. Or karma yoga. It's bhakti yoga. And bhakti yoga includes all the other types of yoga. Automatically, if you're doing bhakti yoga, you're doing karma yoga. That's automatic. So, anyway, so those are the 10 offenses, and also we advise you to study Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prayers, the Shashastika prayers, to help you understand the right mood from the heart, which you should have to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And so that's called the first initiation. Devotees are praying, are taking those vows or intention, have the intention in this way. And the second initiation is called Brahman initiation, in which devotees make further progress by aspiring to develop brahminical qualities. Now, what does a Brahman mean? A Brahman is not someone with a specific name, a gotra, like Sharma, or Dwivedi, Trivedi, like that. That's not a Brahman. That's maybe called caste system. Caste system means according to whatever birth you take, you have to work in a particular way. That's a caste system. But the Varnashram system, which determines who is a real Brahman, is based upon guna and karma, as Krishna says in the Gita. Chaturvarna maya srishta guna karma vibhagasha. Guna karma means qualities and work. So, therefore, in order to be a Brahman, one has to acquire the qualities of a Brahman. What are the qualities of a Brahman? Sama dhamma tavaksho chav shantirajvameva cha yana vijnana mastikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. I'll explain for those who don't understand Sanskrit. The qualities of a Brahman are being equal poised in all circumstances, happiness and distress, pleasure and pain, heat and cold, disease and health, war and peace. All these circumstances, you just remain, what, shanti. Because people want to be shanti, right? Without shanti, there's no question of happiness, without peacefulness. So sometimes people are chanting what? Om shanti, 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 right? At funerals, right? Actually, the funny thing is, oh my God. The funny thing is at funerals, if the person has done sinful things, they're not going to be shanti no matter how many times you chant shanti, shanti. You can chant shanti, shanti, shanti for a million times, but if the person has done things that are against the Vedic injunctions, should I give an example? Oh my God. Yeah, well, let's say someone has eaten meat. So what happens at the time of death for someone who eats meat? Depending, they become a chicken. Murgi. I guess there may be a shanti morgi in the next life, you know, peaceful chicken. So, but you really want to be shanti, Krishna says, both the Ram Jagatapasam Sarvalokamahishnam, we have to understand Krishna is the center. then you're really Yadvabham Shanti Mrityate. Then you come to the point of being Shanti. So, anyway, so that's a Brahmin. A Brahmin is always Shanti, happiness, distress, sama, dhamma. And a Brahmin controls their senses. No matter what, they don't let their senses go wild. It's like a horse. The senses are like horses. That's the example given in the Vedic literatures. That we have five horses attached to our body. It's interesting. Did you know that? You have five horses attached to your body. Then one horse. Another horse. Anyway, so that, you know, touch, smell, taste, etc. And these are horses are dragging us all over the place. And we haven't trained the horses. It's like one time I jumped on top of a horse and it was not trained. Guess what happened? It took me about 3 kilometers away before I jumped off of it. So that's what's happening to us. We have an uncontrolled senses. These senses are dragging. So a Brahmin controls the senses, only lets them out when there's something to do with them for Krishna. The example given in Gita is like a tortoise. A tortoise controls its limbs. It only lets them out when there's no danger, right? And when there's danger, pulls them in, closes up the shell, that's it. So, dhamma, controlled senses. Tapa. And a Brahmin is austere in the sense of accepting everything favorable for Krishna and rejecting everything unfavorable. A Brahmin is clean inside, never crying. So clean, sorry. Clean inside by Yatsmaret Pundarikaksham, by always remembering Krishna. Clean outside by bathing regularly. Tolerant, religious, and I think perhaps even most important of all those qualities is regularly reading spiritual literatures, especially Srila Prabhupada's books. Because when you regularly read Srila Prabhupada's books, you're coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada. And who is Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada is a Shaktivish avatar who came from the spiritual world to carry out the disciplic succession coming down from Krishna and to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And the words of Srila Prabhupada, within the words of Srila Prabhupada, are the saffron dust particles on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, therefore, we read, we practice, jnana, vijnana. Then we practice, and that's what a Brahmin means. So that's the purpose. And one becomes a Brahmin, one can actually make quick progress in Krishna consciousness by attaining those qualities. Even those who are taking first initiation can aspire to attain those particular qualities. But especially for those taking second initiation, and second initiation means that someone becomes a representative of the Krishna conscious movement to preach to others. You can still preach to others, even with first initiation, even without initiation, but especially those who take second initiation, it's like a minister, priest type of position. So take that very, very seriously. You're representing the movement, and your goal is to help bring others to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. So, that's initiation. So, on that happy ending, we'll start giving the names to the devotees. So, let's see. We got a list of the devotees who are taking first initiation. And we have the beads here. We'll start. So, as we call the names, each person will go up and offer obeisances to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the deities, and then come before myself, and they will take their vows of chanting 16 rounds and following the four regular principles, which I will inquire from them about. Okay? So first, I'll mention 3 names at a time. Is Arun Singh, Yeshni, and Sarasati, in that order. So, as they're coming up, someone should chant Hare Krishna. It makes the atmosphere very auspicious. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Rama Hare Hare. All right. I want to give you a piece of paper with your name on it too, so you remember it. Sometimes devotees don't hear the right thing when they take a position and they forget their name. So, what are the four regulative principles?
No meat eating, no intoxication, mm-hmm. No illicit sex, no gambling.
Very good. And how many rounds do you chant every day?
16 rounds.
16 rounds, minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you get the beads with your right hand. And your name now is Atmananda Das. Atmananda Das. Atmananda means the bliss of being a spirit soul. It also means it's a name of Krishna, too. That means Krishna, who is the original Atmananda. He's the supreme Atma, Paramatma, Ananda, always experiencing bliss. So all these names that are given are all followed by the name or the appellation Das or Devi Dasi. That means the servants. We're servants of Krishna. It's not that someone has become Krishna, but they're servants of Krishna. We should remember that. Okay? Next is Yashni. Okay, there she is. Thank you. Okay, what are the four regular principles? Good. And how many rounds?
16
minutes. So your name, you get the beads with your right hand. Right hand. Is Yashoda Priya Devi Dasi. And Yashoda, of course, is the mother of Krishna. And Krishna is, that's the name of Krishna, Yashoda Priya. It's also a name of Radharani, too. So she gets double mercy. Name of Radharani and the name of Krishna. All right, Sarasvati. Oh, there she is. Does she know English? So you probably have to translate. Four regular principles? English okay?
Yeah.
Okay, four regular principles?
No, meat eating and fish and eggs. No intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling.
Very good. And how many rounds a day?
16 rounds.
No, very good. So your name now, beads with your right hand, is Satya Priya Devi Dasi. Thank you. Satya Priya Devi Dasi Ki Jai. That's also she who is very dear to Krishna. Krishna is Satchaparam Dhimahi. He is the Supreme Absolute Truth. So the next four are Ambika, Navil, Ravinesh, and Shalini, in that order. Oh, very prepared. Ravinesh, you look different. What happened? I know. Hardly recognize them. Pictures. Okay. 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 What are the four regular principles?
No eating of meat, fish, or eggs. No intoxication. No illicit sex. No drinking.
Very good. And how many rounds you chant?
Minimum 16.
So your name now, it's a very nice name actually, all these names are nice, is Abhaya Chaitanya Das. Means actually free from fear because he's a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Or Lord Chaitanya who is free of fear, obviously, because he's God. So Abhaya Chaitanya, basically it means one who worships Lord Chaitanya, who is completely free from fear, and that's one of the saintly qualities, Abhaya Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga, Vyavastitahi. Okay, Nabil? How old are you? What? 17. Young man. You ready? Very young. So, what are the four regular principles?
No eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling.
Very good. And how many rounds every day?
Minimum
16. 16 rounds minimum every day. If you like, you can chant more in Ekadasi. There's no restriction. Usually on Ekadasi, unless I'm engaged in doing something, Krishna's mission, Prabhupada's mission, I'll chant 64 rounds. If any of you are able to chant 64 rounds on Ekadasi, you'll find your life will change on that particular day. Try it at least one time, and you'll see that you'll understand that 16 rounds is just basically a warm-up. The real standard is 64, and if you really want to get into it, 192 is even better, like Haridas Thakur. I was calculated. For him to chant 192 rounds a day, he'd have to chant five-minute rounds. Otherwise, it won't work. There's no time in the day unless you do five-minute or less rounds. I'm not saying you should do that. That's Haridas Thakur. So you get the beads with your right hand. So your name now is Navin Gopal Das. Navin Gopal Das Kikai. And that's, of course, the name of Krishna, servant of Krishna. Thank you. And finally, Ravinesh. Oh, there it is. You've known Ravinesh for many years. Actually, I stay with him in Andy, so. So we've been observing him for many years. He's a really nice Vaishnava and very intelligent, too. Very bright. We talked to him about philosophy and so many things. Very few people I can talk to about, you know, philosophy on that level. But he's intelligent. You were a teacher before, right? That's good. All right, Ravinesh, what are the four regular principles?
No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication and kava.
And kava? What's wrong with that?
No meat, no fish, no eggs.
No meat, fish. Okay. I thought Sunday, I thought Kabbalah was all right. Don't we take it as part of the Sunday feast? No. All right. So, you get the beads, so how many rounds a day?
16 or more.
16 or more, minimum. So, you get the beads with your right hand, and you have a special name, Ramacharya Das. Actually, the name means two things. It means Lord Rama, who is the perfect acharya. Acharya means many things. It doesn't mean he's a spiritual master. Rama is a spiritual master. It means he who sets an example. Like, what did he say about Lord Rama? He's Maryada Purushottam, right? That means he's the perfect acharya, the perfect person who sets an example and speaks nicely. Because Ram, what, Ekapatni Vrata, one wife in this lifetime, one arrow, one word, and that's how we should be. Isn't it? One wife, you only get one wife. So, also it means Rama, whose acharya is Visvamitra and Vashishta. You understand? Especially Vashishta Muni, because Lord Ram went to the ashram of Vashishta Muni and got trained up there. You know that? So, it also is the name of Vashishta Muni, Ramacharya. Ramacharya or Ramacharya? Anyway, I think you all understand that. And the last one is Shalini. And she's Ramacharya's wife. And she also is a very humble servant of Krishna. And she cooks very nicely, right? And so, what are the four regular principles? Okay, how many rounds a day? 16. And incidentally, she did very well on the disciple course. She did 91, but her husband did 94. She was a little upset with that, right? It's good to be competitive. Actually, Prabhupada very much liked competition. So you get, how many rounds a day do you take?
16 minutes.
So get the beads with your right hand. And your name now is Shanti Rupa Radha Devi Dasi. I just added the Radha at the end, so it just says Shanti Rupa. But Shanti Rupa Radha. That's a nice name. Yeah, you start taking it away. Thank you. Okay, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada. And then we have one devotee taking second initiation. Maybe while you start the fire, I'll chant on the thread, okay? Because I haven't chanted on the thread yet. Yeah, you just give her the recommendation, that's right. Okay, you can start the preparation, and before you do the oblations, we can give this Gayatri thread. Dasha Gananjana Shavakaya Jurnita Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Swaha
Swaha.